Oh, hello, everybody. It's me, Archie Cousin. I know you're very excited to get into the podcast, but can I just borrow you? Can you just come in this room for a minute? I just want to have a quick chat. No, nothing bad. You've been doing really well, but it's just a quick chat. I just wanted to say, when I started taking AG1 daily, I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had more energy, I was more focused, and in turn became more successful. I even looked better naked. Look, there's a photo. Please don't tell HR. I haven't had a better year financially in the city, which is quite incredible because the rest of the country is suffering, but I've actually smashed it. And I haven't had a better year in the Ten Shirt for the Clapham Falcons. And that's all down, I personally think, to AG1 giving me that extra 2-3%. I don't know if you know this, but AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. I definitely didn't read that. That was just, that's how I get things out. So go to drinkag1.com/rigbiz. That's drinkag1.com/rigbiz. And I didn't read that. I know that off by heart because I go around telling people I know about it. So check it out and enjoy the pod. More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies. More lies.
Are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to episode 159 of the Rigbiz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and as we creep ever closer to Christmas, we're joined by our very own Santa and Mr. Archie Kirsten. How are you, sir?
November's been good. I think we've all enjoyed this very buoyant market, as we definitely should. Yes, we definitely should. But 7 days and we will be there. I can smell it in the air. Silly season is here. Yes, it is. Home and now, I'm gonna get so many Amex points. Going for lunch, breakfast and some lash. Hey Freddy, it's good to be here.
What the fuck was that?
Mate, I can feel it. It's been a good year. The pod's been great. We've got listeners. Are they liking, subscribing and sharing? No.
Well, not really.
But I don't care.
Okay.
I feel so happy right now. Oh, we got 1 month to go. And for me, it's the best month. Yes, it is. I'll be lashing on Monday, Tuesday, all the way to Sunday. And the chassis will take a beating, but I don't care. I'm gonna entertain all my clients to the best of my ability. I'll be lashing at 7 a.m. I'm not gonna, no, I'm not gonna touch the pre-workout. This year, I'm pre-workout free. Oh yeah. Can you feel it, everybody? Can you feel it? Oh yes, I am there. I'm here from the 1st to the 25th.
Why are you crying?
Yes, I am here. I'm gonna beat this out of the park.
Should we get on the podcast in a second?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, can we?
Just, I bloody love this song. Guys, we're nearly there. It's been a long year. Ah, God, that was good.
Should we get on with
that? That was like one of the best.
Yeah.
I don't think we wasted anyone's time with that song.
I don't think we did. No, that was, I mean, that was spectacular what you just did there. Actually,
yeah.
I must say.
Yeah,
I mean,
sorry. I just had to break into
a lot of pent up frustration.
Sometimes you have to break into song class.
Yeah, and you did that perfectly.
For me, you know, Creed was one of the soundtracks to my boarding school years. And, you know, we are 7-8 days away from silly season, and I'm excited.
How excited?
Well, you know I was excited for the Rugby World Cup.
Yes,
well,
you were.
Times that by 10.
Jesus, yeah, really? Yeah. Even bigger than Rugger?
Yeah. I mean, look, I bloody love Ruggers.
You do.
But silly season is all about entertaining your clients.
Yes.
And that equals cash.
Okay.
And you know what excites me the most? Cash.
Cash.
Because cash equals new cash. Watches,
yeah.
Holidays, clothes, and that's good content for Instagram.
We've had a couple of questions from the listeners from last week. One of the main ones is people saying, what is Archie's top tip for silly season? Like, if you're going to do one big thing on silly season, what is the best thing you can do? One day, one afternoon, one evening, one night? Like, what
There's no right or wrong, but all you can do in silly season is just keep going. And remember, it's the boarding school blowjob that's going to get you out of some pretty sticky situations.
Is that your tip of the week?
That is my tip of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the week again. It is time for Archie Curzon's Tip of the Week. Thank you very much.
Just remember the boarding school blowjob. It's great at getting out of a sticky situation if you had too much lash, but also it's great for weight loss. Love and champagne.
Well, Archie, that was wonderful. And lots of people are asking, are you ready for the arrival of Mr. Medesca?
Those plans are underway. Obviously, I've got one of my main clients coming to stay with me over the holiday period, which I'm really excited about because, you know, it gives me 6 whole days to really get in some good old chanter.
Get some deals done, yeah.
We've had to do a bit of rejigging at home, just make sure there's enough room for everyone. My first suggestion was me to shack up with the nanny, but she said no to that.
Big group.
So what I'm going to do is, she suggested Johnny Jono come and sleep in my room, but you know, who knows if I get lucky, that would be a bit awkward.
Yeah.
I think she's too young to learn about all that.
No, agreed.
So we're going to put her in the basement. There's a basement.
Is it one of those modern basements? Or?
No, it's not modern. It's something I am looking at doing, but it's pretty old,
it's like
basement.
It's dark, damp, Victorian basements.
Well, in the winter, it does get, pretty dark and
you're not
damp.
Worried about that with the health?
No. I think it will be actually quite good for her to toughen her up. And then we're going to give her room a lick of paint, put a bed in there. So yeah, we're very, very excited for his arrival. And it's going to make for a really good Christmas.
Well, Archie, this season we promised that we'd bring more celebrities on the show, more people just outside the rugby world. And today we've got a multi-award winning actor, a man who's been on great shows such as Band of Brothers, Battlestar Galactica, one of the sexiest man I think I've ever seen at the age of 50. And you actually know him. You managed to bike ride with him for the Kenny Logan Challenge.
Yeah.
We've got the one, the only, Jamie Bamber.
Jamie Bamber. That's yep. Right. We've got Jamie Bamber this week. And sometimes people can pigeonhole us, can't they, and say, you're just a rugby podcast. But no, we have musicians. We have other sports stars.
Actors, artists.
Footballs, yeah. Comedians. And this week, we've got one of the biggest actors we've had on the podcast, yep. Jamie Bamber. And you know what? I was lucky enough to spend 4 days with him in France cycling. And he has got some good C.H.A.T. chat.
Well, let's reveal it to the masses.
I guess without further ado, it's time to say lights, camera, action.
Hey.
I mean, he's looking incredible for 50, isn't he?
50, yeah, I am 50.
Yeah, incredible. Very, very good looking guy. I've seen him in the flesh, and that's exactly how he looks.
Yeah, we've met. We've cycled, haven't we?
We cycled, yeah. We cycled a number of days. Didn't really get to chat much because every time I approached Jamie, I seemed to give him the energy to move up the hills. But a wonderful athlete, and it's great to have you on. Jamie.
Well, you know, first a question I want to ask, one on most people's lips, but definitely asked to the tens of thousands of listeners. How painful was it to spend 3 days with Archie Curzon in a sort of confined space?
Not painful at all, but he would sort of scooch up on my far side and then start asking these curveball questions, which would slightly blow my mind. And I think maybe that's why I found a burst of energy, Archie, so that I just shot off into the distance to try and compose myself.
Well, you said that you delivered a motivational chat to the troops every single morning. I asked Foxy, he said that's a lie. Do you remember any of those motivational chats?
Total lie.
Yeah,
total
no, that was
total
being honest.
Lie. Fabrication, Archie, fabrication.
Yeah, well, it was more to myself, actually.
Oh, right,
I did struggle on day 3. I had a lot of time to think to myself.
I remember your roommate abandoned you, didn't he, day 1?
Day 2.
That's not what I remember, Archie. I remember you deliberately buying yourself an extra hotel room so that
I
you could You could run away.
Yeah,
from the remake.
I did.
It's all coming out now, isn't it?
I did buy. Well, I'm the CEO of Clapham. I wanted a bit of time.
You were
to
a
myself.
Bit upset that the celebs were put in their own rooms and you had to share with the hoi polloi.
No, I was sharing.
Okay. Jamie shared all the way.
If I may call myself a celeb.
Oh no, yeah. You're a celeb.
And this is the interesting thing about what we were embarking on, because you know, as an actor, you never share a room ever. No matter how crappy the production you're working on, you get your own little shoebox. However, these athletes, these sportsmen, no matter what level they attain, they could be a British and Irish Lion, they could be playing for Scotland 80 times, they always share.
I know. Camaraderie.
So they're kind of inculcated in this sharing ethos, which I embraced. I understand totally if you're used to being treated in a certain way. Ran for the hills.
I think the thing is, you know, I'm a high net worth individual. I'd spent one night with, I might call them a civilian, someone with minimal Instagram followers. We'd had a wonderful evening. That was an experience. Then the next night I'd actually shared a room with Jamie on a boat, and we'd enjoyed some very nice rouge red wine. And the next night I felt a little bit fragile, and
I wouldn't call that a night though on the boat. It's not really a night, it was a couple of hours
of sleep, and then I was up, and that day was a long day. And then I just got back and I thought, you know what, I took myself aside and I said, look, you need a bit of you time. And, you know, in boarding school, it was very similar. You know, sometimes you need to go to the shower room when everyone's sleeping and just have a bit of you time. And I was in a fortunate position where I had a extra bit of cash, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to get the penthouse suite in the hotel on the side of a
motorway. Not cash you use from people sponsoring your account.
No, absolutely not, Freddie. No, this is cash that I get paid cash in hand to do various corporate gigs, so I don't pay tax on, so it's absolutely fine.
Well, we're talking about school there, Jamie. I mean, we've got a lot to get through career-wise, but let's start out in your early days, because obviously grew up in London, but also in Paris a bit. You went to St. Paul's. We were obviously out in France. You guys finished off in Paris, but you spent quite a lot of time in France. A horrible experience on a cruise ship in Marseille.
Yep.
Tell us about the differences when you moved to Paris. Like, obviously, it's a completely different culture, and the school system there is a bit odd, and like everything is a bit different. How hard was that to adapt to when you move over as a boy?
Paris is very formative for me, and I was a kid, so my first schooling was nursery school, maternelle, as they call it over there. And then I went to a bilingual school for a bit, growing up in my dad's American, mum's Irish. It was very international. So that was my first experience of life, was this very international kind of expat world. We had French friends, we had German friends, all sorts of, you know, it was a bit jet set. It was a bit sort of Euro trash. And then I moved back to London when I was seven, and couldn't wait to get back to London, where they spoke English and all the rest of it. But I found that quite weird, actually. And the main difference being, I worked out in London that you didn't talk to girls, basically. That was verboten in the playground, was to play with girls. You played with boys, played football, and you didn't talk to girls. Yeah. Unless it was a game of kiss chase where you ran really fast and you did not want to be kissed. That was the worst thing that could possibly happen to you in London.
Yeah.
In the Parisian playground, it was slightly different. You know, the interaction with les filles was to be encouragé. And I had a girlfriend called Vanessa who was absolutely stunning, aged 5 or 6. I came back to London and my immediate best friend was a member. She was called Katie. She was gorgeous. She had little white pop socks on at the Vineyard in Richmond. But it soon became clear to me that if I was going to be actually have any cultural cachet in London, it was Katie had to be binned and I had to play football. So that's what happened. And I made the transition pretty well. And then I became really shit with girls for the rest of my school life.
Yeah. Well, Katie, if you're listening.
Can I just say, lads always first. That's the way I've been. That's why I'm not married. I keep it that way. Yeah. And actually, Jamie just reminded me, just to say, I mean, there'll be more details in the new year, but obviously February the 14th, that is the annual Clapham Common Kiss Chase. You have to be over 35 years old and single. But it's a wonderful, wonderful event, and I'll be getting into training in the new year. It's all about short sprints.
Okay.
Yeah, and tackling is allowed.
Is there an upper age limit? I mean, I know you have to be 35 to participate.
No, 35 and above. I think the lady that joined us last year, she was a divorcee twice. She was in her mid-50s. She was in great shape.
Cross-country runner.
Wonderful, yeah, and she was athletic.
Well, you've had your run-ins with the older ladies, haven't you?
I certainly have. Yeah,
there was that one lady who made you call her mummy, was it?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Wait, I don't want to. That was a long time ago. I don't want to go into that too much.
You don't
much.
Bring that back.
Still okay. Going through the court.
Okay. We'll leave that out. Talking about London, you know, you mentioned Richmond for nursery. Do you still live in the great city, or are you out in the countryside somewhere now?
I live in a place called Stockwell, not too far from you.
Oh, Stockwell's yeah. Wonderful. Canton Arms. Do you enjoy it there?
It's just round the corner. Yeah, I go there all the time.
Yeah,
Freddie,
love the Canton.
Yeah, yeah. Very good food, isn't it?
Wonderful food, great vibes.
It is nice to know that Jamie's there, and that is one of the areas when we were looking at doing the due diligence of acquiring Stockwell into the Clapham area. It was, you know, Jamie Bamber came up there as a stalwart of the area, but unfortunately, the CEO of Stockwell is a difficult, tricky person, and we're still sort of
who
going
is that?
The brain.
Who is that?
Yeah, who is it?
It's a guy called Matthew Dundas. I don't know if you've come across him, Matthew Dundas. He's a solicitor by the day, but he's a tricky guy. Good, look, I've got to say, good guy. Plays a bit of ruggers back in the day. He's now more into padel. But I think his focus is really getting more padel courts in the area and not doing a deal with Clapham. So it's one thing.
Do you know why I love Stockwell? Because we don't know who our CEO is. So yeah. I feel Stockwell is a bit more of a sort of less pyramidal structure than Clapham.
Yeah.
I have no idea who this Dundas fellow is.
It's a bit of a mess, Jamie. I'll be honest with you. There's no real direct report.
That's why we like it.
There's no dictatorship.
When you're doing the due diligence, it's very hard to look at the book and see how the area is doing. But the Canton Arms again is a
middle class bastion area, isn't it? The Canton Arms. But there could be more in Stockwell if Clapham did acquire it. I think Joanna Lumley's in the area as well. Are you friends with her?
Yeah, she's very near. Yeah, very near. But we're also, you know, we're Little Portugal and we're Brixton adjacent. So I feel we've got maybe a bit more edge than you lads. No offense. I find Clapham maybe a bit homogenous.
Well, yes. Jimmy, you really have to have an eye out. I don't know if you've been down.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna stick with my loyalties to the South Lambeth Road element.
Well, I will just say, and I will leave it on this: if you have a night out in Northcote Road, it really is the Venice of Southwest London. It's a beautiful, beautiful area with many wonderful, you know, restaurants and bars.
You want to spend a fortune doing up your house? It is definitely the place to go to drop some, you know, some hard-earned moolah on the faro and ball and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you, and plenty of prams knocking about as well.
Yeah, it's what I like about that road. It is safe. There really is.
Very safe. Very safe. And if you're ever going to settle down, Archie, I would find a good woman in the Northcote Road and then do your house up.
Jamie could, if he really did have a crack at it, he could have gone for the CEO of Clapham. He's
mate, forgive me, but I don't like to find myself with my own. So I'm more happy with my Portuguese emigre community
brethren
here, cut my hair and do everything for me around here.
Yeah.
I am with the sort of public school graduate landing base in London of Clapham. I kind of resisted that because when I first left uni, I went to Lambda. We looked all over London for a flat, and we did look in Clapham. And some of my best friends happened to live in Clapham, and I won't do them down. But for me, it was important just to keep going and to nudge into the Vauxhall and the Kennington, and you know, get into Lambeth where it's real.
I've got to say, I don't mind Vauxhall. I went to a wonderful sauna.
What? You
know, it's sort of a club.
No, they're special, actually, aren't they?
Yeah, chariots. That's it. Dad, how do you know? Yeah, just for guys. And they are so accommodating. I'll just say a big shout out to all the guys at Chariots. They looked after me very, very well. It was brilliant.
Well, if you want a good night out, get down there. You mentioned post uni. I mean, obviously at uni you studied Italian and French. I know you're bilingual, which is incredibly impressive. You've been doing quite a lot of French feature films recently, which I did watch in the research, and I did actually thoroughly enjoy. Well done, you, sir. But
you didn't.
Yeah, no, I did. I enjoyed it. You know, Archie said, get serious. Jamie's a great friend of mine. But talking French, Italian, we did have an Italian guest on recently. You said you could speak Italian. You tried to charm him. He was from Venice.
Who was that?
Was it not Bella Garabisi?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just wondering if you could just give us a sentence or two just to charm Jamie in the same way you...
I come from the northern Italian, so, you know, it's...
Dai, Archie, dimmi qualcosa.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there you go.
Spiegami tutto.
Yeah, I actually didn't know Jamie spoke Italian. That is incredible.
Come no, certo, dai, Archie. Wow. Sapevi tutto.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, Jamie speaks.
What's he saying to the listeners who don't speak Italian?
He's just saying, he's talking about my nickname, my other nickname, the Maestro.
Right, okay.
Which is, a lot of the rugby guys call me. Yeah. I orchestrate the back line of the Clapham Falcons, and he's just saying, Magnificento, Italiano, say wonderful. He's talking about my left hand spin pass, really.
Well, okay, that's incredible.
In detail.
Yeah.
But Jamie, leaving uni, you know, you obviously get a first in Italian and French. You've been to a wonderful school. Why do you end up going to Lambda? Yeah, how do you make that jump? I mean, I'm not saying it's been a wonderful career move. I mean, you're an absolute genius, but how do you become an actor?
I did a lot of acting all through school, all through uni, and I was too embarrassed to admit it to anyone, but I always wanted to become an actor, and going to Lambda seemed to be the most boring, logical, straightforward kind of almost like a careers fair kind of way of getting into acting. Next stop Earls Court, pretty unimaginative and safe. That's what it was. I managed to get in. I did a year's course and managed to get an agent and a job, and moved on from there. So yeah, very middle class. It was a classical acting course, it was called. So for me, that was it.
Yeah.
Do the Shakespeare, do the Chekhov, do the sort of Jacobeans and the Restoration comedy. And if you got all that sort of down, then what could possibly go wrong with your career other than never work in the theatre again, which is what I did.
Yeah. No, I mean, talking about Chekhov, do you dedicate yourself to the roles when you play them? I mean, do you live and breathe 24/7?
Oh, I wish. I mean, no, I think I'm a bit old school. I don't know what I do really. I do a bit of research because everyone likes to know about the research, but. No, I don't make enough to go full Daniel Day-Lewis and spend 2 years becoming a cobbler before you actually get paid. No. I tend to read the script, learn the lines, get a bit of shtick together, and turn up on time.
Well, so
have you worked with actors that do stay in character? Because
I have.
Intense.
Yeah, it is intense, and I tell you though, I wish I could remember his name, but there was a brilliant young actor who came to play. I think he was shamefully playing a drug dealer on Law and Order, and he was fully in character. And we had to have a scuffle and a fight, sort of, like throw some blows. And then I had to try and explain to him that this is a technical exercise. I'm not really going to punch him. And then he just took the piss out of me because I was starting talking in this actor speak. He's like, whatever, man, just fucking, And I was like, no, you don't understand. I'll fucking hurt you if I punch you. We'll try, give it your best shot, man. Give it your fucking best shot. And he was giving all this stuff. And I found it so infuriating. I genuinely wanted to murder him. And actually, maybe that brought something out in the little exchange that we had. But it's a difficult thing because one of you is working one way and the other's working a completely different way. You just don't really get to meet, and it can be very frustrating.
For me, I find it mightily impressive when someone can just in and out of character.
When I first started Battlestar Galactica, Edward James Olmos, who played my dad, was adamant that I should stay in the American accent all day long, and I did for a while. But I found that the accent between takes would slip a little bit, and that would erode my confidence in it. Whereas if I could just turn it off and I turn it on, it was either 100% or zero, and I knew where I stood. Whereas that sort of middle ground, it just didn't help me, that sort of grey thing. I obviously wasn't committed enough to do it that way, and I never do now. I work with Hugh Laurie on House, and he stays in it, or used to stay in it when he did House, all day long. Wow. And it was very bizarre because I met him on that, and I used to share, when I lived in Vauxhall, with his niece, a flat with his niece. And so I brought that up and we started talking about her, but he's staying as House and I'm going in and out. And I was like, here's two, Cambridge-educated guys who have a social connection, and we're doing a different thing. But I completely respect different people do have to do different things. But for me, that switch and knowing that the switch is on or off, and I know what it is easier than sort of finding myself caught in between the two.
And it's interesting because I work in the corporate world, and in a way, you have to play a character, and I find it very hard to come out of that. When I step into the office, it's corporate Archie. And, I'm there melting the phones. Fred, I've got a lot of banter. I'm playful. But it's when the office, you don't want to see me like that. I'm straight down the line. There's a twinkle in my eye. If someone does something wrong, they're out the door.
Money.
And that's it. But that's the closest thing I come to being an actor. That's my film set. That's my studio as such.
Commercial break. Hey babe, I'm heading over with a box load of booze. It's 52, yeah, and we will get really loose. Go to lash and we'll get pissing and kiss, have a truce. This may be obvious, but it's time for the truth. This fucking bitch is really banging now. I'm gonna sharpen cause I gotta have my own personal doubts. But 8 beers are free, I can't believe they taste so good. The lash, the lash, the lash just starts again.
Which bit of 8 free beers and 2 free snacks are you not understanding? Click the link in the bio and you will get 8 free beers and 2 free snacks sent to your house immediately. Get on it, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome.
Well, talking about Filmset Studios, you obviously got your huge break in Battlestar Galactica, one of the biggest TV shows in history, and then obviously a couple of films off the back of that. But you were an unknown actor at that point. You went over to LA, you auditioned, you got the part, changed your life. Talking about auditions, you must have done thousands. Any, you know, horror stories, any terrifying moments?
Most terrifying one was Band of Brothers, Tom Hanks in his castaway beard staring back at you from 2 yards away. That was terrifying. And American auditions aren't quite like British ones where you get to sit there, flop and go and complain about the tubes not working or whatever's happened to you that morning. It is very much you sit down, you say hi and you stay in character, you deliver the thing and then you leave. So you know you've only really got one shot at it. Maybe they'll redirect you a bit, but you've got to be on it. And there's also this weird thing about American auditions. I've been to American auditions playing soldiers and stuff where people are lying in the corridors with grease paint all over their faces, pretending that they're hunkered down in a foxhole. You know, so you're dealing with the whole gamut of acting styles and tropes from the, you know, you dress up as the part and you bust in that room and you never break character to, you know, more my approach, which is, you know, hopefully trying to impress them with the switch that I was talking about earlier on. This is me, Jamie, and now this is me, the character. We were in a posh London hotel somewhere off Park Lane, and it was terrifying. And weirdly, I mean, not weirdly at all. It was the first time I'd ever put makeup on for an audition. And I didn't get the role because it was winter and I had a breakout of something. And so I put this foundation on. I thought, no, that looks subtle. And I put a sort of green khaki shirt on, thinking that looks vaguely military without looking like I've dressed up. So I did all these things that I've never, ever done for an audition before. And yeah, it's one of the most awkward things that I look back on because I didn't get that role, although I did subsequently get cast as a different role. Funnily enough, Tom Hanks' son got the role that I was in for. Oh,
convenient.
Colin, who was brilliant, who I met very briefly, he did the scene that I auditioned for and I was playing this other character later on. So it was all a bit strange.
That's how the city works, though. You know, I work for my godfather's company. My godfather's son is the MD. I mean, that's good old fashioned networking. That's how it should be. That's why Cameron's back.
Yeah, and in the old days of acting dynasties, you know, the Red Graves, whatever, you know, this is how it works.
The Fox family.
Love the Fox family. Yeah, they're great, aren't they? They keep on popping up. There's a new one every fucking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Great guys as well.
Yeah, good guys.
Yeah, they are.
Big shout out to our sponsor, GB News. Absolutely love you guys.
I was a huge fan, as was most of the world, of Band of Brothers. But what was it like working for Spielberg and Hanks? Because obviously you auditioned in front of Tom, but are they involved day to day or not really?
Tom directed, Mr. Hanks. Why do I call him Tom? Like he's my buddy. He's everyone's buddy.
Yeah.
He directed a couple of episodes. My episodes were directed by a guy called Tony Toe, who's one of the producers, and another man whose name escapes me for the moment. So no, I didn't meet, I've never met Steven Spielberg.
Where was that film though? Like, because that must have been one of the most epic things you've done.
Hatfield, up the A1. There's an old air base there, which they completely took over. And they used the aircraft hangars as de facto studios. So I was in a sequence in the snow in Bastogne in Foy, where they we went on to the soundstage, the aircraft hangar one day, and they had put full-grown pine trees, hundreds of them, in this thing, fogged it up, snowed it up, and you walked in there and you couldn't see the fact that you're inside because you couldn't see either end of this hangar or the ceiling. It was like you were in some very still, foggy, snowy forest, and you could walk for about, 100 yards in any direction and never bump into anything that wasn't like filmable. It was extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it since. Yeah. So it was an amazing experience, and obviously it's a who's who now. Everybody, I mean, I was hanging out in the woods with Michael Fassbender before he was, you know, world famous, just hanging about, and there were no sort of trailers or anything like that. You were in character all day. My first day on that, we were dropped off, walked into these massive army tents, really long tents, with sort of a tin of your costume that you had fitted in London with your character name on it. You dressed up, and then Donnie Wahlberg walked up to me because he was my sergeant and I was a replacement lieutenant. And then we had a sort of drill session in the square and marched a set and stayed in character for the whole week. And nobody would talk to me because I was playing one of these replacement lieutenants who essentially represented a dead comrade, because I had to be flown in. And my character was West Point educated and an elite sort of, not elite, wrong term. He was upper middle class. He had not been part of the D-Day landing, so he wasn't treated with respect, was Jack Foley. And Donnie was told to do the same, although he was my sergeant and he had to hold my hand. And it was just this really weird experience where I never got to meet the other actors as actors. We just sort of, suddenly I was in charge of a platoon and had to give them orders, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So Donnie's telling me what to do and holding my hand and taking me to the edge of this massive forest where we were going to film this sequence where we raid Foy. It took about 3 weeks to shoot, and we literally just sat in the tree line until someone shouted action. And then we ran through this snowy field while mortars went off like all around us. And you could see where they were. There were little X's sort of stank sticking to the ground, so you could see where a bomb was going to go off, essentially. But there was no rehearsal or understanding of how you get from A to B. You really just run, and you were scared. And it was the closest I ever want to come to warfare, because I didn't know what was going on. And then there was some dialogue to be delivered along the way. And the cameras are so far away, you have no idea whether you're on camera or not, but you go through the whole action. So it really was like as close as you get to reliving that experience. Very strange, very strange.
When you get some success, as we know, a lot of actors don't get work. You know, you've obviously been in a privileged position where you've worked on a number of like successful things like the Band of Brothers or Battlestar Galactica. Do you ever think that the nice thing is you'll have legacy? Your stuff will probably last years and years after you've gone.
I don't feel like I've done that. Or not in the way that would allow me to sit back and sort of feel smug. I feel that I have done some nice bits. Yes, Battlestar's right up there. And there are moments. There's a show called The Smoke, which I'm super proud of, which was on Sky with Jodie Whittaker and Taron Egerton before, you know, it was Taron's second ever job, I think. It's a fantastic piece of work written by Lucy Kirkwood, who's amazing, but nobody saw it. And so there still remains a challenge, which is to have the thing that you can, and I don't think anybody ever really achieves that. I mean, I don't know, you have to ask Daniel Day-Lewis or Robert De Niro what they feel about their legacy. But my legacy is pretty paltry compared to the people that I really admire. So there's still more to it.
Well, I think you're being incredibly humble, but I mean, in a way, does that keep you driven?
Yeah, I mean, look, but I'll be very honest. I've just had the worst year of my career. This 2023, I've worked in front of camera, I think maybe 3 days. So, and I've turned 50. So, you know, you're constantly in a state of paranoia. At my level, you know, I've had some success and I've been vaguely sought after for a while. But right now is not one of those times. So I'm really having to sort of try and really reconsider and think, what do I want to do? How do I get to do the projects that I want to do? Do I create them myself? Do I write them myself, produce them myself? And I'm starting to think in those, far too late, I'm starting to think in those terms. And I think that's what you have to do. This, nothing is guaranteed in this, you know, job. I've been a journeyman actor for 25 years and made it work and raised a family, and that's all great. But there are, you know, it's not like you being, you know, a successful, you know, mogul.
I'm a CEO. I've got a wonderful pension and I hope to retire.
Exactly. I don't have any of those things. There's no guarantee. From the outside, it might look that, you know, success breeds success and I'm, you know, doing fine. But it's nothing, you know, it can all be taken away from you with one quiet year, which is what I've had. So, you know, right now we're feeling quite precarious and in the Bamba, whatever my surname is, household. And that is part of it, you know. I'm quite a sort of risk averse middle class dude who's working in an industry where I fetishize and want to be an artist, and the two battle against each other, security and, you know, putting everything on the line and risking everything to try and create something truly, truly original and interesting, and that says something.
Obviously, you've had a lot of time over the last year. One of the positives, being able to listen to Damien Lewis's album, I'm sure.
Do you know what? I have listened to a little bit of it, mainly by his Instagram. I love Damien. He's fair play to him to, you know, go back. I know he's bussed all over Europe, so the guy knows his way around a guitar.
Yeah.
And he's playing Glastonbury and all the rest of it. So fair play to him. But forgive me, I haven't listened to the whole album.
Wonderful.
I'd love to be that famous. That's the kind of notoriety. I'd like to get to like 500,000 Instagram followers and then decide that's it. I'm just going to start a band and go for it.
Well, the thing is, you've had a top 10 UK hit. Damien Lewis hasn't.
Yeah, well, yeah. Eat your heart out, Damien Lewis. Although I do love Billions.
You must be very close to achieving that same goal, Archie.
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's hard to walk around Clapham without getting recognised. But
exactly.
Yeah, that's why I am spending more time in Richmond actually at the time, just take a break from it all.
And do they give you peace in Richmond? I mean,
not really. It's the same kind of crowd, actually.
Same kind of crowd.
Yeah.
I suggest you come to Stockholm. It's not
I actually might.
Nobody would know you.
You might see me if you see a guy in the corner drinking whiskey, crying. Don't come and approach me. I'm having a bit of a dark moment myself.
Off the back of Battlestar Galactica, Jamie. Obviously, talking about, you know, people spotting you in the streets of Clapham, people spotting you all around the world. There was something called the Bamba Babes. They're still going. We're all signed up fanatics. Just tell us about how that came about. And also, Archie gets some very weird messages. And actually, most of the actors and musicians, even more so than any sportsmen, seem to get the odd weird message coming into their DMs, as the kids call it. Anything weird you've got on your socials from the Bamba Babes or anyone else? You must have done.
They were the Bamba Bunnies, which is maybe the same
bunnies?
Thing.
Oh, so the Bamba Bunnies, sorry.
I don't know about Babes.
Lost in translation. My French isn't great.
The thing that happened with Battlestar is then it opened up this whole world of conventions where I was sort of dragged into it kicking and screaming, but once in it you can't really sort of wean yourself off the circuit, and I have a love-hate relationship with them because it feels like you're monetizing love, which is what prostitution is, and it's not really what I signed up for as an actor, but hey, I did embrace it for a while. I'm actually going to be in Telford next weekend, so anybody wants to join and come and see me in Telford and you know, pay me for some love, I'll be there. Anyway, the Bamba Bunnies, I met them all, and they would show up in numbers, and they would wear pink t-shirts with bunnies on and deliver me baked goods and fluffy animals, and they were adorable and very discerning, as all my true admirers are. But yeah, it's a strange thing when you actually have a relationship with the people that sort of start these things up, and you know who they are by name. But what I found out is they're all, you know, extremely, you know, my fans are not the how do I put this? They're kind of kind. They're just kind people.
They're not as sexually driven as others.
No, but I have had, there is an unnamed Brazilian woman that sends me inappropriate messages, shall we say, on Instagram, but I've got very good at kind of not looking at them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tough sometimes.
Photos, videos, messages, the whole thing, I'm guessing.
The whole deal.
Well, you were done for that with the American guy, weren't you?
Yeah, the American guy kept sending me stuff. And my geography teacher, Mr. Matthews, he keeps sending me weird stuff.
Where is Mr. Matthews now? Is he still free?
He's out and about, but he goes to another account. So he's obviously signed up to my OnlyFans page, which I can't stop. But that's where I monetize my love.
Really? Because I've got a few school teachers who probably are the wrong side of liberty at the moment for similar reasons. So I haven't encouraged them as you have.
Yeah, no. I've got my own fan base.
Do you?
Yeah.
What are they called?
They're called Archie's Chicks. No, sorry, Archie's Dicks. And it's just a... A bunch of guys, actually, I met in Chariots in Vauxhall, and they just send me these pictures. I'm up for it. I'm a rugby guy. I see it all the time. And, you know, I send pictures back, and it's a great exchange.
Hey, Archie, as my kids used to say in America, you get what you get, and you don't get upset.
Yeah.
You know, you take what's on offer.
Yeah, and I do. I'm all about, you know, I'm very open to it. I'm a liberal, open guy to life, not politics. I'm straight down the line, conservative. I love it.
Well, talking about Chariots, talking about dick pics, 7 years ago you got naked for a global campaign which could quite misleadingly be called Save the Bears. Archie, you obviously got involved in a similar process, I think like 2 months later, so that was 2017-18. No, 16. And then a couple of months later, you obviously did that campaign where you got naked in Clapham to stop them building the Iceland.
Yeah.
Were you inspired by Jamie Bamber?
I've been inspired for Jamie for a number of years. I looked at that campaign Jamie did, and I was against Iceland being in the Clapham Common Area. I didn't think it was a good look. Mine didn't work. Did your shoot work, Jamie? Did it?
That actually worked. Yeah. The guards apparently are making their big furry hats out of synthetic fur rather than killing a bear for every hat. Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, that's the difference. There you go, Jamie.
It's because he's got a great chassis.
Yeah, Jamie is in good nick.
I used to.
Hey, no. You're 50, no. Jamie, great. You're looking good. Don't put yourself down. I saw you on the bike. I was behind you on the bike, and I thought, yeah, Mr. Matthews would like a bit of Jamie Bamber.
Jamie, you've had some incredible moments in your career so far and so many more to come, but what's that one moment where you pinch yourself still when you look back on the show reel and go, fuck me, I can't believe that happened?
Actually, it was a strike back thing. I was doing I was driving a speedboat down a sort of a mountain river. So it was a really winding river with canyons either side, being chased by a helicopter whilst explosives were going off and shooting machine gun fire up at this helicopter. But I was actually driving the boat. When I lived in Marseille, I lived in Aix-en-Provence for 3 years. And when you live by the sea, I thought, look, I've got to be able to take out a boat and take friends out on a boat. And I've got to have the license to do that. So I did the course and did the training. And I told Paul Shapcott, our stunt guy, hey, I can actually drive this boat if you want. So he took me out for a test session up and down this river on a very quiet day when there was nothing else on the river, and I showed him I could handle this thing, and it was fine. And then we did the actual shoot, and of course the other elements that come into play when you've got cameras involved is there's a massive boat in front of you with all the film crew on it and the cameras kicking up a massive wake already, and I was in this boat being chased by a helicopter flying along. And they got to a moment where I went outside the camera boat's wake and almost tipped this thing up. It was at 80 degrees, I think. And I was about to spill the whole cast into the drink with a helicopter flying overhead. And at that moment, I got yanked. Shapcott said, okay, you've had your fun. That's it. But that was an amazing day. Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now. Damon Lewis. Chat.
Tom Hanks.
No chat.
Michael Fassbender.
Chat.
Richard E. Grant.
Chat.
Joanna Lumley.
Chat.
Ali McCoist.
Chat.
Kenny Logan.
Chat.
Gabby Logan.
Chat.
Foxy. You've got to be brutal here. You've got to be brutal.
No, chat, but you have to bash your way through first.
Kirsty Gallagher.
Chat.
And finally, the self-proclaimed CEO of Clapham, Mr. Archie Gerson.
Oh, Uber chat.
Yeah, there you go. You've heard it there first.
I wonder how much you've been. Jamie, you've been wonderful.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Great to see you guys.
What an absolute hero. I mean, Shane lives in Stockwell, but it's close enough.
Yeah, that is disappointing to hear. Yeah. Poor guy. But then again, it's very rare you'd have anyone in the art world living in Clapham. They just can't afford it.
Well, Archie, you've asked for it to come back. So
Hold on, before you get there, we haven't had a button yet, and I can see what's coming down the tracks, and this is pretty exciting. That's why it deserves the Maritoge.
Another one.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I thought we got rid of that button.
No,
Archie.
One more time, because I absolutely love DJ Khaled.
Another one.
All right, I can't believe Maritoge is good friends with DJ Khaled.
I know, it is ridiculous.
I also want to find, is this one?
Coots Bank. The best bank to bank with.
We're going to get in trouble if you keep playing that, man.
It is such a great band. This one. Lululemon for men. And those men are definitely not massive dickheads.
Okay, Archie, can we just get on with the section now?
That's cool button, though.
Yeah, weird. But Archie, come on, we're running out of time.
Lululemon tracksuit buttons.
Yeah, and you don't look like a dickhead, I'll tell you that.
Look how they're stretching.
Yeah, you look great. Arch, come on, let's get on with this because we don't have that much time and you've asked to bring it back.
Okay,
it is.
Just 2 seconds. I have to say, people really enjoyed this button.
Shell oil. It's good oil.
Archie, for fuck's sake, let's do
the best oil.
Yeah, but come on, let's just get on with this now. You've asked for it to come back for one day only, or maybe more. We've got the wonderful Clubhouse Stories.
Yes, Blues, get in it. Let's play the theme tune.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna
hear about the time that you met that rugby player. Fucking see you in the clubhouse.
It's called £10 Turd. That's just the subject of the email.
Oh my God, this is already going to be good.
It's come from...
oh God, what a... Who wrote this? It must be an absolute
Ian
legend.
Cooper, all the way from Wales.
Oh, that's disappointing. That's disappointing to have a name like Ian.
Yeah.
Oh, how's he spelling it?
E-A-I-N.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, confusing.
Oh, God. Okay, we'll call him Coops. Pretend we didn't hear the Ian bit.
Hello, gentlemen. One of the boys up the club, Nelly.
Oh... Does it say what Nelly looks like or not?
No, but he was skint. And we're all heading to the Big Smoke, a.k.a. Cardiff, for a night out on the Lash.
Oh, come on. I can so relate because I'm a rugby boy and I'm always going out in the Big Smoke on the Lash.
We didn't want to leave Nelly behind, so all the boys rallied round him and told him, if you can sort out your bus fare, we'll pay for your drinks and taxi home all night.
Hold on, mate. That deserves this button.
That's seriously good. Chat.
Close, just stop you there. You won't know this, but rugby boys are like that.
What, like to rally around?
We rally around all the time. I sometimes rally around people I don't even know. I just love rallying around people. That's the kind of guys we are.
Right, okay.
Well, I'll regularly go out in the common with the rugby boys and just rally around people. Mainly people are out of shape. We'll rally around them and say, come on, guy. Come on, fella. You could do it.
Well, he wasn't going to get away with that lightly.
They're going to make him pay. That's also what rugby guys are like. We're absolute bastards. God, what's happening?
Dares ensued, but the winner was him being dared to eat a full turd produced by a lovely fella on the night out called Di Biscuits. Brackets, you can imagine the state of him.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Oh, well done. Yeah.
Anyway, Nelly...
hold on. Can we just rewind?
Yeah.
They rallied around him. They said, come on, mate. If you get your bus fare, we'll buy the drinks and the taxi home. Good guys. And then as he's there, they've gone, hold on a minute. You're eating a poo.
Yeah.
That's so rugby.
Anyway.
What good lads they are.
Nelly duly obliged and came into Cardiff for the night. And believe it or not, he ate the turd and still managed to take a bird home.
Oh my God, that's so good. That's amazing.
So he ate a shit, went a night out, and he pulled a girl.
That deserves this bun.
Another one.
Why another one?
Well, just because...
You want another story?
No, I want more poo-related stories.
Okay, well...
That's really good. So he just had he ate a poo and then snogged a bird.
Yeah. Wow, back.
Good guy.
And they paid for his night out. Love and champagne, yeah. The Yan Train. That is his nickname, the Yan Train. Better Yan than Ian, train. I should say. But we should
her
say
real name Ian, which is a shame.
But we should say to all the listeners, if you do have a clubhouse story, please send it in to rigbizpod@gmail.com, an embarrassing, wonderful story, and we will read it out. And we don't have to declare your name if you don't want us to.
No, and also, please, if you got any more like ones with poo in it, they're so good.
Yeah, or just DM Archie with the poo ones.
Yeah, or just send me pictures of your stools, because I'm still doing that. Because obviously you're still on AG1.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people from last week were messaging me saying, can I have a look at your stools? And I happily oblige.
Okay.
And sometimes they catch me at the right moment where I've actually dropped one in and I just say, there you go.
You're
this
welcome.
This is pretty much live.
Well, Archie, it's been absolutely wonderful to see you. That was a big old podcast.
Mate,
full of entertainment.
Hell of a podcast. And, you know, if I was captain of this pod team, which I am.
Yeah.
I come into the change room. I say, guys, it's been a long old pod season.
Yeah.
You know, we've played a lot of pods, haven't
we? Yes, we have.
Too many pods, people might say.
Some say.
And people say, listen, I don't mind if you dropped off one or two because you've played so many pods. It's been great the whole season.
Not in our nature.
Clothes, you know what? Actually, Take this weekend off, enjoy yourself, okay?
You played a
blinder.
I appreciate
that. Don't worry about training this week. Okay. Just come in loosey-goosey next week and see what we get to.
Well, we've got a huge guest next week and we can't wait to bring you her, which is actually quite a nice change of space. But until next week, we will see you all then and lash well.
Yeah, lash well, love and champagne.
Eyes. I can feel you watching in the night. All alone with me, we're waiting for the sunlight. When I feel cold, you warm me, and when I feel I can't go on, you come and hold me. It's you and me forever, Sarah. won't you smile for me, Sarah? If you feel like leaving,